The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and today we are recapping episode number 4 of Survivor 50. Will has a boombox in front of him, or whatever it is, a speaker. He's ready to go. We are ready to dissect this episode, Zach Brown's appearance, spearfishing, and a concert. We also had a really, really, really big blindside. I think one of the biggest ones you've seen in a while. Mike White going home in unpredictable 3-2-1 fashion. We're going to dissect this vote. We're going to dissect Zach Brown. We're going to dissect just everything going on in this episode. Still only one tribe going to tribal. In the preview for next week, we do see that finally we're going to have two tribes going. But Will, you can't help yourself, so let's get you going right off the bat. Why do you have a prop right now?
This is the speaker box that was on the show, and I'm pretty sure this is how Zach Brown maybe got to Survivor. This connection happened. We actually, Tegwith and I talked about this today on the Patreon on Teg Talks, our elevator pitch. We were talking about whether celebrities would have made sense to come out for Survivor, and one of the audio guys at Survivor, he's like an outdoor wilderness, you know, audio supervisor, and he needs to play back audio in very wet or not ideal conditions, basically outside. So he built a speaker that is made out of a Pelican case. So it's fully waterproof Bluetooth speaker. And then you can open it and put stuff in it. I just have the charger in it right now. This is a great product, but this is the company that Zach Brown bought. He bought this speaker box. And that's why you saw the speaker all over the episode. They're all over on the Survivor crew, has a bunch. I have two of these. They're great products. I don't care if we're not getting any sponsorship. I'm just like, it's called the Deemer box. And that's how Zach Brown ended up on our screens tonight, was through this speaker product. Perhaps.
Look, you guys say what you want to say about our podcast for the new fans who might not like our approach, for the old fans who might not like the approach we've had this season. You are not going to listen to another Survivor podcast that is going to give you the bit of information that Will just gave you. So even if you only listen to 2 minutes of our podcast, you're welcome. Let's get going.
Okay. Zach Brown thing. I have a feeling that you're just going to absolutely rip into it and hate it. Be like, why do I need Zach Brown on my screen? It's Survivor 50. I want to see the players. This was too long. I actually really enjoyed it. Like, I did not really have a problem with this, especially we are in an era of Survivor with 90-minute episodes. We're still only going to one tribal council, which I think, look, if you want to nitpick that we should start doing double boots now with this 24-player cast and not an increased episode order, then I can nitpick that all day and I will get with you. But if we're going to one tribal council in 90-minute episodes, it's like, I don't think we're missing out on too many other things. And this was a very nice reward, and it really felt like this was genuine and authentic, like Zach Brown's idea. He wanted to do this. They worked together. They made it happen. They got the speaker in the shot. Good for the speaker box. And that, I don't know, the Billie Eilish thing, it seems like it's come out that Billie Eilish was just like texted three ideas and she was like, oh, I like that one. And she literally just like picked off a list and had zero involvement in, there was no conversation, no back and forth. We haven't seen Billie Eilish tweet about it or be that excited about it or anything. It seems like this was a heartfelt idea that just felt like it was real. This felt like a real Survivor fan, that Survivor means something to this artist and that he could go out and provide a really special experience for the winning tribe. I had a lot of fun with it. So I'm just going to start with that.
Did you see the comments I was putting up? Will is coach this episode. And then I forget what even one I just put up from Brett Parnell. I lost it. All right. Well, anyway, they were up there on the bottom. Look, so one of our super chats, I always love this. Kev Jag, the only positive thing to come from this episode is that I get to hear Phil rant about Zach Brown for 15 minutes.
Here's there you the deal. Go. Rant. I understand if you are like, this is Survivor 50. Why are we wasting our time on Zach Brown instead of the cast? Like, and I don't know if I have a good counter to it, but I can still say I was watching it and I was entertained and I enjoyed it.
So let me start by saying this. I know we have a lot of new listeners for this season. Maybe a lot of people who come back. D-Sig's Comedy was in the chat the other day, Will. I don't know if you remember D-Sig's Comedy, if that name is just
rings
like
a bell. It definitely rings a bell.
Flashing back, right? We have a lot of new people left. We have a lot of people who haven't listened to us before and are listening now. And look, I read pretty much every comment. And when I get roasted, like, or when people are really negative about me, we had like one commenter that said like four negative things in four different comments. Like, why are you listening to the podcast? Like, I appreciate you listening, but at the same point, if you're not happy with what we're doing, like, you don't have to listen to us. And one of the things that I've been really taking a beating on is the rap. Cool shots, Phil. I need an epic rant about Zach Brown, please. One of the things I've been taking a beating on is the rap from last week, because I've been poking fun at Jeff pretty much nonstop. Every podcast I asked Wentworth, I asked Alexa yesterday what everybody thought about it. And I got one comment that was essentially like, Phil, you need to get a sense of humor. You need to lighten up. And it's like, we have a sense of humor on this podcast. Like, if you want me to lighten up, if you don't think we have a sense of humor, I have to do a podcast weekly with Blake. But if you don't have a sense of humor, you can't talk to Blake. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say my honest opinion, whether I like it or not. And the one person who said that to me said, you need to learn how to take criticism. I know how to take criticism. You just have to take criticism where you need to know what criticism to take, right? And for the amount of people who are mad at me about talking about the rap, the same amount of people, if not more, are happy that I'm ripping the rap.
I saw most comments were ripping the rap, and like, yeah, that was the main conversation of the week. Like, we had, I don't know, somewhat of an interesting vote. We had Q, a major character, maybe the biggest character of the new era that's on season 50, get voted out. And what was the conversation during the week? It was all about the rap and what direction that Jeff is taking the show. That's like a hot topic. So I don't know if that's like necessarily.
And here's my thing. I'm getting to the point. I promise you all there's a point here. And Will, I appreciate you saying that. But that is, Tyson's putting it out on his stuff. Rob is talking about it. Rob and Brandon are talking about it. Everybody was talking about it, but we get ripped on it because we didn't play Survivor and we're the negative. We were called chronically negative. I've been so positive about this season, but I've been called chronically negative. You just have to know which criticism to take, right? Because there's people who are happy about it. There's people who are negative. You can't make everybody happy. If you try to make everybody happy, then you're just not yourself anyway. And you're not even giving opinions, and people won't care when you give an authentic opinion that maybe goes against the grain. I was fine with it. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I don't give a shit. I liked it. I'm not, look, so I have a very
Elaine though, because like I think maybe that's it. Like you have like this kind of overall thesis of how you view and enjoy Survivor, and this feels like counter to Phil's like take, like your energy. Does that make sense? You're very much like, why do I need to watch this? Why are we spending time here? I want to spend time with the players. Why are we going on journeys? Why are we spending time singing? It's a waste of time. And this was a lot of singing, and it was a lot of a character. Like, who is the number one confessional getter tonight? Like, if we do the confessional tracker where they show the chart, I think Zach Brown might have led in confessionals on Survivor 50 that already has an inflated cast of 24 people. So, like, I and again, I enjoyed it too. I'm just surprised that you're that okay with
can
it.
Can I
was
say,
ready for you to be like, dude, why did that last so long?
No,
it was pretty long too.
Well, and that's the one comment here, Jay Fables, but you were fine with the time it took up. I thought the spearfishing part of it was too long. I'd rather watch Ozzy go spearfishing, which I eventually do. We get a couple shots of Zach Brown. I didn't need that much. I thought the reward itself was actually really good. And here's why. Rewards have sucked in the new era. And rewards used to take up 15 to 20 minutes of an episode. I know there's a lot of people complaining here, but if you go back and watch the really early seasons of Survivor, rewards used to take up 15 to 20 minutes of an episode. Rewards used to be a whole segment. When JT and Steven stay overnight, maybe in one of the most important reward wins of all time, that takes up a major portion. Guatemala giving out the food in different orders. Obviously, Africa with them going on the journey. And the thing was tonight, we watched them do this, and yes, Zach Brown plays songs. I was fine with the Zach Brown songs. I didn't really care about the spearfishing, but we're hearing Coach talking about why it's important to him. We're hearing Colby say, if my game ends tomorrow, it was worth it for me to come back out here. We're getting Joe's opinion on these things. Like, we got takes from this. Dee's confessional about this is the most interesting thing Dee has said in two seasons of Survivor, and I'm a huge Dee fan. Like, I loved Dee on season 45. I think the best winner of the new era. This was the most interesting thing I've seen from her, the way she broke down over this and what it meant to her. This brought it out because this was a real reward. We don't see them that, oh, I'm going to not go eat my jelly beans and my grilled cheese with milk. What are you, 7 years old? Like, who cares that you don't get to do that? This was a once in a lifetime experience. There are seven people out of the 24, and I'm sure Mike White will find his way. There's seven people out of the 24 who got to meet Zach Brown. That meant something. And to get a personal show like that, That's insane. You'd have to pay $1 million, $5 million to get something like that. Maybe even more. Like, this was, I thought this was good. Was it long? Yeah, it was long. But the end of this episode was perfect. And I thought that it gave us time with a tribe we've barely heard from on this season because they keep winning. So that's where I come from on this. I'm fine with it. I know that some people over here are not. We got Survivor Archivist. Phil gets to control the chat because Will is right. Zach Brown for celebrity season from Trav Harrod. Ryder, haven't caught a live in a while. Want to show some love, but I hate how Zach Brown took up so much screen time when Christian turning on DVG should have been a big iconic moment. It's overshadowed. I don't feel like it was. I actually feel like this, to me, felt like one of those episodes where you remember everything about it now. And I get if you're not a fan of it. I hated the rap last week. But to me, this felt like an actual reward. This was something they played for. I miss when it meant something. Winning first or second. Oh, I got the gold trophy and a little bit bigger of a tarp. You got the silver trophy and a smaller tarp. Who cares? This is different. And I know people don't like it. That's okay. You're allowed to have your own opinion. I'm not somebody who's going to say you have to agree with everything I'm saying. That's for my commenters who don't like me. But I just think that this is one that worked more for me than I thought it was going to. And you all know, if I didn't like it, nobody wanted to roast Zach Brown being on Survivor more than me. But I couldn't do it. I can't do it. And I'm not going to lie for clicks and likes. We'd have a much bigger TikTok and Instagram following if I just said shit I didn't believe all the time. But I believe what I say. And it's not always for the best. So my wife, we're watching Worlds Apart. She just said, this is a reward Rodney would have been sad to miss on his birthday. We just watched the birthday breakdown. So playing for something, man, I liked it. And it got real emotion out of these players in a way rewards haven't in a while. So I'm a fan.
Yeah, I think there are probably a few tweaks you can make to it. I know you mentioned like the spear fishing bit. It's almost like if you're going to go spear fishing and catch food for them, like maybe have a reserve of fish that's ready to go. And maybe you get those clips where he goes on his own and he catches like the big tuna basically. But like, why couldn't he have gone out with, I don't know, two or three of the players who won the reward?
That's what it should have been. That was
then. It's like you're doing something with Zach, but having Zach Brown have his own segment without any players involved, I think maybe that was a step.
Imagine him and Coach and Joe and Colby and Aubrey and Genevieve out there doing
out there, and they got spears. And guess what? You get some shots of it. They can talk about it quickly. If it works, great. If not, you have a reserve of fish to serve them. He was going to pad all that. You know, he had obviously a lot of help to prepare all that food. So I think integrating them, but that's a different type of spear fishing too. He's doing the ones where he's wearing like the weights and has like the long spear. Like this isn't just the Hawaiian sling that like Rupert and Ozzy use, but at least that could have been a way to maybe integrate him more. Cause like at some point you are watching it going, why am I hearing from Zach Brown and not from the contestants on this season? So look, I get it if that bugs you. And I think that did bug me a little bit, but if I'm going to give it like an overall, like thumbs up or thumbs down, I'm going thumbs up on this because I agree with you. Mm-hmm. They were playing for something. Everybody wanted it. And it felt special. And again, it didn't feel gimmicky. It didn't feel like this was, oh, we need to get Zach Brown on so that we get bigger ratings. And we're going to like just promo the hell out of it and do it for that reason. This act like Jeff looks at the screen and says, that was Zach Brown's idea. And I believe Jeff when he says that. I believe that Zach Brown came up with this idea, contacted Jack, maybe through the speaker or not, and like really wanted to do this for a show that means a lot to him. And he clearly is a real fan of the show. Like, again, I'm like not sure Billie Eilish is a real fan of the show, even though she has an idol named after her. And now we have a third Billie Eilish idol in the game. We'll obviously get into that. But I don't know. I'm like good with it too, Phil. Weirdly good with it. I thought there would be a lot to rip into, and yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, and again, I agree with you on that. Billie Eilish did not feel like she wanted to be a part of this at all. I think you hit the nail on the head. It should have been other people out there. But imagine if this was, we're going to go to a Fijian village, and you guys are going to feast. They're going to do a cookout for you, whatever. They're going to make you a whole thing.
And they'll do a song and dance. Like they'll song do, and dance. A lot of times where they go to a village and the concert, like, that's kind of the reward anyway. You're just doing it with a celebrity. You know, obviously the people in the village aren't getting their own confessionals and their own spearfishing segment. But again, that's probably the only part of it where I was like, okay, I don't know if we need this, but yeah,
And this is what I'm talking about. Kev Jack, have a good night, guys. Going over to RHAP now. Like, then go. like, what do you mean?
You don't need to let these people get to you. Who cares? It's fine, man.
It's not. No, the thing is, it's not that it gets me. But if you think that the negativity is that you're beating our podcast, like, we're not, like, I'm not going to notice that you went over to RHAP right now. Like, the number went down one. Who cares? Like, I'm not competing with RHAP. I know I'm not competing with RHAP. So I just, like, you ruin the fun. And also, the people who are bringing politics into this, screw you. Get the hell out of here. I don't care. It's stupid. Like, it's about Zach Brown and Survivor. Like, give me a break about bringing the politics into this. Here you go. Go over to RHAP. I'm over the MAGA supporters. Like, get out of here. Like, go away. That's not what
we're doing. I'm not even reading the chat.
Yeah, dude. I mean, the chat's ridiculous. And that's the ridiculousness, is Survivor does something like this, and this is what it brings out of people. This is what it does. Like, get out of here. So here's what happened to me with
Zach Brown. I'm reading starred comments only.
Here's my thing with the Zach Brown thing. Okay. And I'm going to get personal here. Real fucking personal.
Whoa. This is supposed to be
I'm going to get real personal, Will. No, and I need to. No, listen to me. Listen to me.
You weren't going to rant, and now you're ranting for another reason.
No, let me tell this story. I don't listen to Chicken Fried. Okay. I can't listen to that song.
I like that song.
Yeah. I love that song. I can't listen to it because in 2011, a friend of mine died at 20 years old. And that was his favorite song. So this meant a lot to me. There you go. So screw your politics. Take it out of here. Get out of here. I don't want you here. If you want to bring politics in it, go listen to Eliza Orleans. She'll give you plenty of it. Done. Let's move on.
All right. Let's move on. I mean, I understand we now have a better perspective of maybe why you enjoyed the segment more than people thought. You know, people thought maybe you would rip into it and you enjoyed it, which is good. And I think part of what 50 was supposed to be was a celebration of Survivor. And that was the word tonight in the challenge. That was the puzzle, a celebration. And someone with the celebrity status of Zach Brown to come on. Look, I'm not like the biggest Zach Brown guy. I know a couple of his songs for sure. I like his speaker company, definitely. There was a part of this that felt like a celebration. Like, we are celebrating Survivor, and that Zach Brown is celebrating it by coming out here. But he's also like, when he's out there, he's looking at Colby and Coach serving him fish. And he's like, I feel like I know you guys. I've watched you on my screens. Like, he's kind of in awe of them, just that they are of him. Mm-hmm. So it's like this, it felt important and significant. And again, it did not feel like some just tacked on gimmick to get extra viewers.
Agreed.
It never felt like that. So,
and I never felt like, even in the buildup to the episode, that it was going to be that much. Now, could it have been that they could have highlighted the crazy tribal council coming on this week's episode? Yeah, but how many times have we heard that in Survivor? But
also, no. And I hate when they're like a blindside, like, you've never seen. Okay, well, now I know it's a blindside, and now it's not going to hit as hard. I try not to watch Survivor previews. I remember, you know, when we first started doing the podcast, anytime the preview would come out on CBS's YouTube channel, I would just go, okay, click, watch. I'm like, now I avoid them. I just want to come in fresh. I had no idea we were getting such a good vote tonight. I had no idea.
Honestly,
there was this comment from Ryder saying, you know, this Christian turning on DVD felt overshadowed. I don't know. I don't think so. Like, just because Zach Brown was in the first half, and then we have Christian turning on Mike White in the second half, like, why can't those exist? And especially, again, we got 90-minute episodes. The first 40 seasons of this show, we had an hour. Okay, well, we had 42 minutes. Now we get, like, an hour and 6 minutes, an hour and 8 minutes, whatever. Like, that's a big difference. And I think that's why I'm also more okay with this, because we got a full – that, like, the build to tribal was great. And then, you know, there was a little bit of doubt of – like, is Christian going to pull the trigger? It felt like he was. It felt like he was sold on it. They wanted to leave up, is Emily too messy of a player? And then Emily kind of, you know, getting that vibe at Tribal Council, she didn't like the energy. You know, there was some doubt on whether Christian was going to go through or if that plan was going to come to fruition. And Mike goes home, total blindside. And then Ozzy's totally blindsided too. So let's get to this.
Yeah, I mean, we're 20 minutes in now.
We went through everything behind us.
Yeah. Here's my thing, man. I don't know what Christian was thinking here. I think he made the worst move out of the three. And I could be wrong on this, but here's my reasoning. Wow. Mike White came to him and pretty much said, this is why you lost David versus Goliath. You should learn from that. And Christian was like, how dare you bring that up to me? How dare you? I don't think Mike White was ever going to plan to vote out Christian. I think he had Angelina and Christian's best intentions in his, or best, whatever, in his intentions, whatever. I think he was ready to go there. The other thing is, though, Emily has now done this 2 weeks in a row where she has proven to you that she cannot keep her mouth shut. I don't know how you play with that much of a wild card. Now, I was talking to some people in the community before this, and I was saying, help me understand this. Like, what am I missing? And somebody brought up the point of, well, maybe you don't want all three David versus Goliaths making a merge or another swap. And I get that. But to keep Emily in this moment, I feel like was a crazy, crazy move, because Emily might be loyal, but Emily has already proven that she will run over and tell whoever she wants anything that they want to hear. And I think that's a problem moving forward. I mean, you get to emerge. What if she links back up with D? What if she links up with some of these new school players that she has previous relationships with? I know somebody brought it up here of like the blood in the clock tower or whatever it was that they play on RHAP. That's fine. But I just think that like he has so many relationships already on that tribe. Why was Steph not brought up as just an easy vote? Like, I just feel like this was a miss. Now, Ozzy's really pissed. Ozzy's got Sari. I mean, I know that, like, you had this tribe that's going to tribal so many times. I don't think this original Sela can ever get back together now. Devin's and Christian can get back together. Ozzy's not going to play with them. We've seen Ozzy do these type of crash outs before. It's not going to happen.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and say you're wrong, but I think there are other merits to this move. I think primarily you have your David versus Goliath 3. You got swapped onto a tribe and everyone is calling you the David versus Goliath 3. I think you instantly are painting a target on yourself. And if you stick with them through the full tribe swap phase and you enter a merge with three DVGs, you are going to get targeted early merge. Or let's say you're Christian, or Angelina or Mike's going to get targeted. Mm-hmm. So like either scenario is bad, right? Like either all three are left, you get targeted, you're out of the game, bad. If you have now put all your eggs in the DVG basket and then they target Angelina or they target Mike White early merge, then you're without allies. Whereas I think Emily and Christian, it's not as obvious of this grouping. I think that having three of you on one season, which is the most out of any season. So we have three from 46 and we have three from 37. That is going to scare people if all three of you are in the game, especially it's clear all three of you are working together because all three of you survived a tribe swap where you just went to tribal two times in a row, three times in a row, maybe four times in a row.
I mean, now it's double elimination next week.
With how this tribe is looking. And look, I think we're probably getting a second tribe swap. You know, we saw two tribe swaps in 49. That was maybe foreshadowing, or that was a test run for how that works. But I think that is maybe the biggest factor that didn't come up in the storytelling of this episode is that Christian is saying, I don't want to enter the merge with three David versus Goliath. That is not going to be good for my game. And who are you going to take out? Are you going to take out Mike or Angelina? And I think, look, Mike is a threatening player. And I think Christian immediately saw through, I am being manipulated by Mike. I played with Mike before. And let's not forget, Christian voted for Mike to be the sole survivor of David versus Goliath. And he actually made a cheerleader speech that Mike played a transcendent game and played one of the most interesting, unique, best survivor games of all time. And now Christian is out here with Mike White again and is being manipulated and persuaded by Mike into doing what Mike wants to do. I think it's okay for Christian to say, look, I don't want to be in this group of three and I am threatened by Mike. He is much more dangerous than he lets on.
I agree with everything you said. However, he's gone to so many tribal councils, right? Other people have now been bonding with these other, I mean, a bunch of, you know, people from his original tribe were just sitting there with Zach Brown. But here's the problem. He left out Mike White here. Mike's out of the game. He left out Angelina. I don't know if he can go back to Angelina. Angelina's going to be pissed. I mean, that was one of her really close friends. He left out Ozzy, and he severely underestimated how mad Ozzy would be about this. He still has Emily. Those two are going to be locked in forever. She's also got the biggest mouth on the season, which she has proven time and time again and did in her first season. Steph is playing Survivor, man. She's just trying to survive. One more vote, one more vote, one more vote. You think if Steph hits a merge and Colby is standing there, she's not going to go right back to Colby over Christian? 1,000%. That's why I think this is a problem for Christian. He left two people out. He was so worried in the early portion of the game. We need unanimous votes. We need unanimous votes. We need unanimous votes. Tonight, he could have had a unanimous vote. Maybe he could have a 4-2 vote. He leaves one person out. Instead, he left out two people. And now he's aligned with the person who's most likely to blow up his game. And the other person, who really isn't an alliance at all, she's just thought, I mean, I had her in spot 20 in my power rankings. I think Stephanie had herself in spot 20 in her power rankings. I think Stephanie is just doing what she has to do to get by. So I think Christian overplayed big time.
Yeah, but I think there's a world where it's like, okay, you, and we hear this all the time. It's like, and we see it all the time on the show. You vote with somebody on one vote, and that gets things going. Like, there's no reason why Stephanie and Christian cannot continue this relationship. And it's not like, look, they said, I'm with you to the end. Let's go to final three together. But in a chaotic modern Survivor where there are a lot of swaps, you're going to have to work with different people as the votes, you know, go each round. Okay. So you have now Stephanie, who you voted with and trust you. I think that. Not is like, again, not like a reliable number to the end, but I think if you go to tribal council again, Stephanie is going to be like, look, I thought I was on the bottom. I was the only one left out of the Q vote. You came in and saved me. You came in and told me the real plan. I now have a trust with you. I have a relationship with you. Then turned on Angelina. No, not really. Cause guess what? Angelina was the target. They were coming for her. They flipped it to Emily. And I guess, yeah, Christian turned on Angelina, but by not letting her know. But it's like there was a world in which Angelina's name came up. And who else is Angelina going to now? Angelina's closest ally was Mike, and it was Christian. Mike's gone. So I think Christian can have Angelina, can have Stephanie, can have Emily. Where's Ozzy going?
Who goes if they lose next week, in your opinion?
I think Angelina and Christian link back up, and they have Emily, and they choose between Ozzy or Stephanie.
Really?
Look, Ozzy can be pissed, but we've seen him be pissed before. We've seen him pissed in South Pacific where they voted out his like girlfriend, whoever it was, and they didn't tell him.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm a free agent and this is BS. And then by the time that merge happens, they like, you know what? Vote me out. I'm going to go to redemption so we have the numbers and I'll come back in the game. So like Ozzy will do his thing. He'll breathe some fire. He'll get angry and then he'll realize where else has he got to go? Mm-hmm. Nowhere. So if Ozzy wants to play this game, and look, Semhar,
and then Elise, yeah.
Ozzy and Ozzy's still getting a lot of like. Ozzy had like a winner quote tonight.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like,
I don't want to go too crazy here. I don't want to turn into like Bryce Isaiah, you know, who's like, woo, Ozzy, woo, but Christian Hubicki made me an Ozzy fan tonight, like. I'm rooting for Ozzy. I was so enthused to see Ozzy pop up as one of the returning players. I'm like, we have all these legends. You could have Penner from Cook Islands instead of Ozzy. Tell you what, man. Ozzy, I was feeling it tonight. And after that boot, when Christian comes over and says, I'll catch you up, and he goes too late, I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, now.
Dude, I love when people are getting pissed. Yeah, people should be pissed. This is like, again, this whole season has very old school flavors, partially because we have, you know, half the cast is from the quote unquote old school. But like even the talent show we got, like that felt like a little bit morning show vibes from Marquesas all the way back to season 4, where we're just hanging out at the campfire, playing campfire games, telling stories. I mean, you got a little bit out of the reward. It felt like a more old school reward where we actually cared about something. But I'm not as bummed with this move as it's like the chats is calling Christian an idiot.
Yeah, we got Jay Byrne
ever. Like it seems like the chat is just really down on this. Again, I think entering the merge with three David versus Goliath would have been such a big risk. And look, you have to play to win. We talk about it all the time. Like, sure, you can go to the merge and have your alliance and have two really close allies, but you know that's going to draw attention. It's almost like when you're playing Catan, and if you playing high, do you play Catan, Phil? You play Catan
always. Longest like, road, baby.
You well, longest road's often bait.
Longest road, baby.
If you're playing that game and you play it enough, you realize that you can't basically like load up on an 8 or 6 with two cities early, or it's going to be the robber target. It's going to be the robber target too often and too early that you won't get the right value out of it. And it's almost like you have to weaken yourself to appear not as threatening to other players. It's often what you have to do in Catan. You have to build, you know, a way to earn points late. And I think that's maybe the thinking Christian had here.
Yeah, I want to throw this one up because I threw up Jay Burns already, but love Mike, but he was cast as filler. Ozzy's a diva. I don't like country music, but like Zach Brown, but that was too much Zach Brown. Good boot order, though. So I just wanted to throw that up while we were talking about it. I think the problem with me here is, Will, we've watched a lot of episodes of Survivor now on this season. We've already watched 4 episodes. This is final 20. It's final 20. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're making a move to win the game, worrying about the merge. It's final 20. You know another swap or some other BS is coming at some point. You are making a move at final 20. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's too early. I think it's too early. Kev,
yeah, no, that, I forgive you.
Sorry.
That's fair, but I can understand wanting a David versus Goliath player out of the game, especially early on. And then it's not going to be a talking point because, you know, people, you know, what are the other camps talking about? They're talking, it's like, especially on a returning player season, they're talking about the other players, who's voting out who, who's aligned with who. I mean, this is all important information that's going to impact, you know, a future swap or eventually when we merge. Like, this is important. And they're probably all labeling, wow, yeah, the David versus Goliath, I'm sure, are working together. Like,
yeah.
And so I like it for that reason. And then also, yeah, like Mike, you're right that he wasn't going to turn on you, but he's like, I don't know, Mike's scary. Cause I, and maybe some people, we, you know, we just had that comment. Who's that from? From Jay Byrne.
Yeah.
You know, Mike saying filler. Mike White was filler. You can think that. And I think it was some stunt casting. Mike White has, you know, grown in celebrity over the past 7 years since playing on David versus Goliath. But again, legit player. He's not someone who is just there to have fun and not think about the game. I mean, we've seen him being a driving factor in the votes. He wants his voice heard. He wants to do what Mike wants. He tells us this explicitly in his confessional. All Survivor is persuading people to get them to do what you want to do. And they talk about tribal council, like what's better for the group, what's better for my game. Mike was heavy-handed being like, getting rid of Emily is best for me. Was getting Emily best for Christian? Okay, you can argue she's a sloppy ally. But Emily and Christian are friends, and they are close. And they're like, Emily's not turning on Christian, just like Mike wasn't turning on Christian. So I'm okay kind of neutralizing Mike White because he should be taken seriously. And I think a lot of the discourse on Survivor, just like that filler comment, is that he's just a celebrity stunt casting and he doesn't need to be taken seriously. He's a damn good Survivor player and someone who is actively playing.
I feel like there's so much contradiction to what Christian did, because I feel like you're getting the psychology, but I feel like there's so many ways to poke holes in it and be like, yeah, but like if this was a script, if this was a movie, you'd be saying, yeah, but that's against his real motive. So that doesn't make sense with this motive. You'd want it fixed around. And the thing is, if you're playing for the merge and you're saying, I don't want to have the DVG thing around, okay, let's get rid of one of the DVGs. But if you're playing for the merge, also, if you're Christian, you're a threat. People know you can play the game. Like, you are a threat. Even if you're not nearly as good of a player as maybe people are thinking you are a threat. So if you're worried about the merge, wouldn't you rather have Mike White around as the DVG person who is more strategic and everything? Everybody knows they can go to the end with Angelina and beat her 10-0 no matter what she does the rest of the season. So I feel like if you come to the merge with Angelina and they want to split up the David versus Goliaths because there is still a pair and maybe there's no other pair on from any other season, well, you're going to get rid of Christian before you're going to get rid of Angelina, but you might get rid of Mike White before you get rid of Christian. So I think there's a lot of back and forth here. I think Christian ultimately should have gone Angelina if he was worried about the Davis Goliath thing. If he wasn't worried about Davis Goliath, it should have been Emily. I know Mike is a little scary, but I get he was worried about Ozzy. But Steph was never really in with Mike White. And if you get rid of Angelina, you have Emily, you have yourself, you're fighting over Steph's vote against Ozzy and Mike White. If Mike White has even said, I'm done with you, Christian. So I don't know. I feel like this was maybe a lose-lose. Maybe he put himself in too much of a swing position. but I probably would have just gone along with the Emily boot if I'm in this situation. Because look, they're friends. Mike White also put Christian on White Lotus. Christian still turned on him. So you can be really good friends. Survivor goes on. You might turn on somebody just because it's better for your game.
Right. But like, if you're Christian, who do you think is turning on you sooner, Mike White or Emily?
With how Emily's been talking this season, Emily has spilled everything you've told her in secrecy.
Spilling is more of a sloppy.
That's more dangerous.
It could be more dangerous. I'm saying there's not like ill intent there where I'm like actively trying to eliminate Christian for the game. I'm just blabber mouthing and it's like a negative effect. I think Mike White is more likely to be like, Christian's too good. He can win. He's a jury threat. We have to vote out Christian. Mike would do that sooner than Emily would. And I think Christian knows that.
We'll see what happens, man. I don't know. I think it could go either way. The Panda of Pizza says Christian made a TV move, TBH. I could see that. St. Cliffo, thank you for all you do. Love y'all. Cass Burchard with the big one here. This episode was so moving for me and my husband as our love for Survivor and country music came together. Meant a lot to us. Film, sorry about your friend and crap people in the chat. Sorry, Kev Jag. Sorry, I didn't catch your sarcasm. My bad. We'll get that one in a second. Sorry, Trav. We'll get that one. But I just wanted to throw this. I don't know. Maybe it's there's more layers to this. I think like if you went on the internet now and I wasn't on X, I wasn't on Instagram, I wasn't on any of that stuff. So I don't know how people are reacting to this episode. I think that you could go either way with this. And I'm sure that there's some like very simplistic looks from some of these people here. I'm sure there's some of them that are just like, no, Christian made the idiot move. No, Christian made the great move. Maybe it is much more of a 50-50 coin flip than we realize. And maybe it was more of a, you know, the lesser of two evils at this point, or three evils.
It might be. I mean, I think you brought up an interesting point. Like, why not go with Angelina? I think in that world, like Mike White clearly did not want to vote Angelina out because that was the name brought up at the beginning of the episode. And Mike White was telling everybody, she's not a threat. You can beat her. She's harmless. Why would we take out someone who's harmless? Let's take out somebody who you're worried about. Let's take out Emily. And so if Christian turns and votes out Angelina, he might lose Mike White's trust. Whereas I think voting out Mike White isn't going to like, I don't know if Angelina is going to be like, Christian, I can never trust you again. Like, I think he can repair the Angelina relationship sooner than he would have been able to repair a Mike White relationship had he turned on Angelina.
And that's fair. I mean, yeah, Matta says that here. Wrong, Phil. If Christian blindsided Angelina, Mike would actively target Christian. That's way
right.
worse. And maybe he can easily sway. I mean, Ozzy, he used to go to Ozzy's bar that he managed or whatever. Maybe he could easily sway Ozzy and Steph.
And that might have been it, too, where, like, he was getting the sense of his tribe that like, oh my God, like no one's going to vote out Mike White. Like he even had a confessional. Everyone wants a cameo on the White Lotus. Christian's one of the few people that's gotten to actually go out and do it. And he's probably saying this might be our only time. Like when else are we going to be able to get this guy out? And there is something too, where he points out the Gabby of it all and Christian breaks down and cries. And it's almost like, it almost felt like a low blow when it happened too, where it's like, you didn't have to go there. And also, I don't know if it was that valid. I think Mike White was kind of just grasping at straws in order to like rile up Christian in some way, because they show the flashback. Christian plays the idol and Gabby goes home. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's not like Gabby votes out Christian.
I know. She tried.
Right? That's how it went down, right?
Is that the one where Davey plays the idol, everybody? I can't remember. I have to rewatch Davey's Goliath.
Because it says Christian does not count. So it's not like...
It's the episode where Gabby goes home, but I forget who plays the idol for who. Somebody in the chat will know better than me. I haven't watched that season in forever. Because that's the second time an idol is played for Christian. Gabby goes home with Mike and Angelina's votes.
Yeah, and Gabby goes home. Like, it's not like... And then Christian goes home the next week after Gabby's out of the game. It's not like Gabby... didn't successfully turn on Christian, at least.
Yeah. So, well, it was a 1-2-3-4-5-2-1 vote. Christian would have went home. So anyway, I had a spot that I was ready to go to and now I'm super distracted. I can't remember where I was going to go. Wrapping this up on this tribe. Cause then we talked a lot about Zach Brown. And now we've talked a lot about this tribe. Wrapping it up on this tribe. Why, and I don't remember if we already touched on this at the beginning, but why is Steph so in the clear after Q just went home?
Well, I think it was Ozzy. Look, everyone had their own targets tonight. It felt like, especially, we are down only to six people. I know we started with it. This is a six-person tribe. And so there's not a lot of places to get, but Ozzy was gung-ho on Angelina. And it seemed like there was no world, and Ozzy tells us this, there's no way I'm not writing Angelina's name down on tribal council. It's like, that's okay. So that's what Ozzy's doing. Is that a vote against Stephanie? No, it's not. Mike is gung-ho about getting Emily. Okay, is that a vote against Stephanie? No. So it's like, and then you have Christian. He's like, you know what? Who's the biggest threat? Mike. Is that a vote against Stephanie? So when you have all these names tossed out, Stephanie, all she needs to do is shut up, be told what to do, not make noise, not cause chaos. And like you said, she's playing Survivor. That's kind of the old way of doing it. You don't need to be in control every vote. Don't draw attention to yourself. People are going to get restless. People are going to feel threatened, and they're going to start making moves. They're going to start making mistakes. And I do think Mike White had this kind of overconfidence. I don't want to go fully like cockiness, because he wasn't cocky or mean about it, but the way he would explain how he's kind of controlling the vote, it was feeling like, okay, like you're not in control as you think you are, and you were probably overdoing it to the point where Christian's like, I don't, like maybe Christian also doesn't want to play Mike White's game. Every day Christian has played on Survivor has been with Mike White. The next time we wake up on the episode next week, Phil, that will be Christian's first day on Survivor without Mike White. Obviously, he was on the David tribe and Mike was a Goliath. But just saying, like, he's been in Mike White's Survivor world his entire time playing.
And I will say about Stephanie, I think people forget because of how bad her time in Heroes vs. Villains was and being a one vote finalist to Danny in her second season. Steph played the disaster game to perfection. Think about this. Like, really think about the first disaster tribe, true disaster tribe in Survivor history. Like, can't win a challenge, get decimated. To be a woman who survives that in an era of Survivor where the women were getting out voted out, you know, historically way earlier than the men. That was an era of vote out the weakest. Let's vote out the women. Like, that's what the mentality of Survivor was at that time. She got down to what? Final four people on her tribe. It's three men and her. And she navigated that because of her social dynamics and because she pretty much said, I'll go with whatever you guys want me to go with. That is good with me. And so I think that is coming out a little bit here. And I'm happy for Steph that this wasn't just an easy pile on, get her out of here type vote, because it really could have been. And do I think Steph can win this season? Probably not. She's got a lot to overcome. Plus, she's got to actually put together a good final tribal speech. Plus, she's going to have to make some moves, and it's going to have to be Survivor moves, not just surviving like she is currently doing. But I do think that she's positioned herself right now where, coming out of this episode, Ozzy's more really pissed at Christian. Christian and Emily are tight, but Angelina's probably pissed. No one's mad at Steph. No. If you didn't pick up Steph, Nobody's mad at Steph. I think Steph's in a great spot.
Yeah. No, I mean, and would that have been the correct move, you think, Stephanie? Like, should they have just probably all decided?
Let's That's do a 6-1 vote or a 5-1 vote, whatever they're down to.
And they just say, look, she wasn't on the Q vote. Let's keep things simple. Christian keeps up his unanimous plan of, like, let's go home. Let's be happy campers, because he's definitely not getting that next week from the preview.
Yeah.
Is that like it? Mike turning it on Emily, knowing Christian's very close with Emily, I think we can agree was not smart by Mike White at this point. Even if you can argue Christian's so dumb for voting out Mike, why would he get rid of someone who was an ally and who was going to vote with you? It's still a mistake to tell your closest ally that you're going to vote out one of their friends. Like, I think, and like actually pursue that plan. Should Mike White, Angelina, and Christian just been like, let's just vote out Stephanie?
Yeah, I think they should have.
That's the correct move there.
I think they went to a commercial at 9 o'clock and it was like Angelina's going home and Mike had just said it was going to be Emily. And then Christian says, I'm thinking maybe it should be Mike. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop because we still had so much time left. I was waiting for it to be, oh no, this has actually been a really obvious Stephanie boot the entire time. We just wanted to keep that hidden from you guys for a little bit.
I don't know. I was getting, I was getting early on, even from the previously on, I was like, oh, I think Emily might be going, because mm-hmm. they had highlighted her sloppy play and that she was blabbering. And then it came up again. And there was this, when Mike White said Emily's name, I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's kind of where I see this going. And then when he said the Gabby thing, and there was a music hit, there was a score.
Yeah, there was.
It was like a cue that you just feel it sink deep. And you're like, uh-oh, I think this is turning against Mike White. Like, and then it, you know, of course the question became, where's Christian going to go with it? But yeah, I mean, that is a tough spot for Christian. Should Christian then have said, okay, now I'm like targeting Mike White. Emily is, you know, loose lips sink ships, might sink my alliance. Like, do I just get Stephanie? But at that point, I don't know. I think he was,
I don't know if you could spin him at that point.
I think he was so fixated on getting Mike out after he felt, I think, a little bit maybe betrayed by the manipulation, where it's like, I'm friends with you, we're friends outside of this game. For you to bring up the Gabby thing, which again, like, he sniffed it out and played an idol and got the best of her and sent her home. So again, that's not what caused him to lose. That it probably just didn't sit right with him. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's move off of it.
All right.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know, when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.
Let's move on. All right, so let's get to this comment. That was the first one. Survivor Archivist: though I like the boomerang idol, if Genevieve has to give two idols away and then gets idled out by someone who didn't find one, I'm going to crash out. Will, Genevieve found the Billie Eilish boomerang idol again. She gave it to Rizzo this time, so we'll get into what you think about the Rizzo decision. But she found it again walking around on the island. What is I know you were the biggest Angelina, or Genevieve, I'm calling her Angelina now. You were the biggest Genevieve fan coming in here. You were ready to go. How are you feeling about the fact that Genevieve just found her second one and is currently sitting with zero idols?
Again, I'm not really that mad as a Genevieve fan. I'm not one to sit here and say, oh, if you find something on Survivor, it's going to be a good thing and you get rewarded for it. We talked a lot about this last week. Like, I don't think this is unfair. I think this is a little bit, and again, I also talked about this, I think it's just getting a little repetitive and boring. I said in episode one, I think each tribe is going to have its own celebrity. I think that would have been really fun. I think that, and maybe this get a little off topic, but man, remember the trailer for 50 when we saw the celebrity mentions? You heard the phrase Billie Eilish boomerang idol and everyone's collective eyes rolled into the back of their heads, or at least in the online Survivor community.
Big time.
And seeing Mr. Beast and hints that maybe there's Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel, I get them mixed up sometimes, and Zach Brown. But it's like, so far, it hasn't been that bad. So can we just maybe like, okay, not that bad so far. I haven't minded. Why, again, and I said we should have, like, there's two great. I think when we move to the next phase, the swap phase, we should have a different type of idol. Having three Billie Eilish idols out is just nonsense to me. That's really, that's the shame. It's like, you did this really creative idol mechanic. You, some way you went back and forth with Billie Eilish's team. It seems like she was not involved at all, but
yeah, okay. she was held for ransom. That's
it's a cool, I'm like, there's enough celebrity Survivor fans that you could have found someone who's a little bit more excited. It's a fun idea.
Nick Offerman, idol.
Tegwith and I talked all through celebrity Survivor fans on Patreon today. That doesn't come out for like, I think.
No, that comes out next week. That's next Tuesday.
We recorded that today. What I'm getting at is, if the celebrity theme is something they really want to hit home, and clearly they do, and the season's called In the Hands of the Fans, and we want to show all these people and celebrities that love our show, why not get more of these idol mechanics in? The mechanic is awesome, but each time you put it in the game, it weakens its purpose and its significance, because the whole thing is based on this inside joke, this secret that the audience knows, the player knows. If that person gets blindsided, that player then is rewarded with the idol. It boomerangs back. And that's such a cool idea. You got three of these. Like, Rizzo already knows what a boomerang idol is, right?
Now it's not a surprise to him.
Like, when he gets it, he knows if he's blindsided with the idol, it goes to Genevieve. That's way less interesting than him thinking he got a gift and that, wow, someone's looking out for me. Go Riz God. I mean, I know he does say those things anyway, but he knows the mechanic of the idol because you put three of them on the season. That's the disappointing part for me. Again, I'm not going to sit here and say it's unfair that Genevieve doesn't have idols, even though she found them. Like, that's Survivor, man. Like, that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Like, it's a bummer. And I know that the online community is going to be like Rob Giotis. That's going to be coming up big time here with Genevieve if she ends up going home because of an idol when she found two of these. And also, big edit. I mean, tonight, for keeping track of confessionals, because you know I like that. Christian had six with the most. Mike and Emily both had five. Zach Brown had four. Everybody else had less than Zach Brown.
Oh, Zach Brown did not lead. I thought he might be.
No, Aubrey and Genevieve both had three. Angelina, Coach, Colby, Camilla, Ozzy, Stephanie with two. Charlie, Chrissy, D, Joe, Rizzo with one. Sari, Jonathan, Rick, Tiffany with zero. But the point of this is, in an episode where Zach Brown dominated and the tribe that lost dominated, Genevieve got a lot of screen time again. So if Genevieve does get screwed, it's almost like the producers are preemptively setting her up for like a, we're sorry this happened. We know what the internet's going to think. We know what the fan base is going to feel overall. Let's give Genevieve her much warranted screen time so that when we ask her to come back a third time, one, she says yes, but two, the fans are happy because they know why we're bringing her back for a third time. Now, I'm not saying, all I'm saying is, when it comes to this type of stuff, if you're producing the show and you just had one of the fan favorites of the new era find two idols and have zero, and if she goes out early, and I don't know if she does. I mean, if that tribe loses, I get more worried now that we're getting into double boots and stuff. But if that tribe loses, Genevieve goes, it's like, well, we know that fans are going to be pissed about this, and this is in the hands of the fans. You know, they gave Q a huge edit too. And I know Q is going to get a big edit no matter what, but Genevieve's not necessarily going.
Fans voted for dynamic advantages, Phil. And the Billie Eilish idol is pretty damn dynamic. It literally changes hands.
I think what they should have done, and we talked about this in the first episode. First, if you go back and listen to our premiere recap, we bring this up. First thing, the winning team from the first challenge should have had the clue to the Billie Eilish boomerang idol. Second place should have had a different idol, and third place should have had like the least powerful advantage. And I think that's what they should have done. Cause I agree with you saying it three times. It gets repetitive. I don't care what her reasoning is for giving it to Rizzo. She just gave it to Rizzo. It was interesting the first time with Ozzy. Even Christian giving it to Aubrey wasn't all that interesting. I feel like a little bit of that is like, wink, wink. We have a pregame alliance. Like, we played five seasons apart, really only one season apart. We're part of the same cycle, 37, 38. You know, we know each other. Our casts hang out together. You know, I feel like that was a hard one to explain. I think it should have been like a Billie Eilish boomerang idol, Jimmy Fallon, you know, half an idol, and then, you know, you get a third of a vote. Like, who knows? But it should have been different levels rather than just three Billie Eilish boomerang idols. And the way to determine the fairness of that is if you win the first immunity challenge, you tell everybody off the bat, if you win this challenge, there's going to be another thing you're going to be rewarded. Like, you guys are going to have like the most powerful advantage on the island.
You don't need to tell them.
You don't even have to tell them. But whatever.
Like, if anyone asks, it's like, that's why this one was more powerful than the others. But, or you, yeah, you can probably just be like, look, we're swapping after whatever two votes anyway, or three vote. Yeah. After three people go home, we're swapping. So it's not like where you start and what idols on your beach, because there's going to be more idols. Again, dynamic advantages. Yeah, and maybe it's not the repetition too. Again, it's the specific way the mechanic works is that the fewer people who know about it, the more interesting it becomes. Once the word's out, then it loses its fun. Like, it's not as interesting. So that's where I'm like, or like, maybe have just like a normal idol too. Like, that's also an option. Like,
well, because I think what also happens here,
every idol like didn't need to be a Billie Eilish boomerang idol.
It's kind of like a secret, the secret trader. And Trav Herod, did you know that there's a traders board game, Will? Did you know that?
I did not know that, but that's,
I didn't either.
I didn't even know that there was a new Survivor board game.
Yeah, the Let's Go to Rocks. It's like the same make of the other one that we had that we played before the.
Well, it seems like you can combine these two.
Oh, so you can get more people involved.
Right. I think, well, Jeff says you can play it like it's a standalone game, but it does then, in some way or form, like mix in with the Tribe Has Spoken one that which we have.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminded me maybe a little bit of the Secret Trader with this Billie Eilish boomerang idol, because what makes the boomerang idol cool is the boomerang element. Now, if Genevieve gets voted out, you've now lost 2/3 of your twist. Like two of the people who have these idols now just have idols that were given to them. And the boomerang part can't affect anything because Genevieve is gone. And so now they just have regular standard idols that can only be played for themselves. I remember chat. Hello.
Again, which is crazy. I still don't get the why you can't play it for somebody else. It just seems so bizarre.
It almost should have been too. If the person who gave this to you gets voted out, then it's only good through final 10 rather than being good through final 5. So maybe you're trying to protect the person who gave it to you or something.
That could have been the Phil Wood safety idol.
I'm telling you.
Something like that.
Something different. Because if Genevieve goes, and let's say you, before you get to the merge, Christian and Genevieve are both out of the game. At this point, Christian's going to go to every tribal council. If Christian and Genevieve are both out of the game, you just have three normal idols that were handed to people at the merge. And there's no boomerang effect.
But that can't be played on other people for a reason I still have not been able to figure out. I guess the only argument would be you're not allowed to play it on somebody else because the person, let's say Genevieve, links up with Ozzy and is like, yo, dude, I gave you that. And if we're ever in a pinch or if my name comes up, will you play it for me? And then it loses its like, oh, now it's just going to go right back to the person who gave it to them anyway. But I don't know. There's still a lot that has to happen for that to even work. Like, I don't like if. If Genevieve goes up to Ozzy and tells him, hey, I wanted you to have this, I don't know, Ozzy's not going to be like, oh, well, this is your idol, I'm just going to hand it to you. Like, that's not going to happen. So I don't know why they needed to have that weird, like, stipulation.
And the one that I keep forgetting, and I get reminded, because I keep forgetting that you cannot give it away, you cannot give it away, you cannot give it away. But anyway, I don't know. I feel like, you know, people are going to be concerned with Genevieve finding two and all that. But I just feel like they could have probably had a little bit more fun with it, but we'll see what ends up happening as we continue moving on. That was really the only thing we heard from that tribe tonight. That was the what tribe is that? That's the Sela tribe now.
I don't know the names, but I think it's the Teal tribe, I want to say.
Because it's not the one with Sari, because that's the one that did the talent show. So this was the Teal tribe. This was the Kahlo tribe. Well, I mean,
it was very funny how Genevieve ends up finding this idol too. It's like Aubrey's missing. She goes and goes, Aubrey, we're looking for you. Like, kind of like, you know, you better come back here. Everyone knows you're looking for an idol. Like, you're caught red-handed. Like, you're out of camp. Seems like Aubrey is definitely on the outs of this tribe. Like, Genevieve has worked her charm and made her the target. So Genevieve's like, yeah, you shouldn't be. Yeah, clearly you're looking for. I mean, they don't have a confrontation or anything, but clearly that's the vibe of the conversation. And then when Aubrey goes back, she's like, all right, I'm going to go look too, and finds it like immediately. I mean, obviously it's edited, but it was just funny that it was a little hypocritical of Genevieve to be, you know, shaming Aubrey for going off looking for an idol. And yet once she just does that, finds one herself.
Are you okay? Are you good?
I'm okay with Genevieve not having two idols because she's...
No. I'm making sure you're okay saying something bad about Genevieve. Are you good? Are you feeling good?
It's not bad. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, the hypocritical part. I mean, good for her for finding it.
When I had Wentworth on this weekend, she's just like, my God, like, I get why people like Genevieve, but like, she made a mistake. She shouldn't have told so many people. Like, it's not her problem. Too.
I said that last week, and I love Genevieve.
Yeah.
Where are we going, Phil?
I think, you know, that's the tribe. Like, so we got Genevieve and Aubrey. That's the tribe that won the Zach Brown reward portion of all of this. So we got a lot from Coach and Colby. Really, I thought Colby's confessionals were really solid. Thought Coach's too, getting really emotional over this and saying, you know, just be in the moment, live in it. Tiffany just felt like she was trying to vibe as much as she could. She was laying in the hammock, kind of like shaking her head. She got no confessionals. It was funny that Tiffany just like got, everybody got a confessional about Zach Brown. This man, and Tiffany was just like, I guess it's like Tiffany. And I don't know if she listens to Zach Brown or not, but like being that she's close with D on this season, I feel like Tiffany would have had great confessionals about D being so excited to see Zach Brown. But Tiffany had nothing to say about like Colby sitting on a beanbag watching Zach Brown play guitar for him. So that was really what we got from that tribe. On the other tribe, this was the most overshadowed tribe of the episode. Devin, Sari, and Jonathan, all with zero confessionals here, which is really crazy.
Devin can't win.
They probably can't now. And I was talking about how I can't believe Jonathan was getting so much screen time, but instead we got this talent show, which like you said, it was kind of like the morning show from back in Marquesas. And that's what I think I was more okay with this episode too. It had that old school feel throughout, and then we still got a really great moment at the end with the vote. This tribe here, it's Charlie versus Rizzo. Rizzo now has an idol, and I almost feel like could we be heading towards an episode next week of Rizzo versus Charlie, idols at the ready, Genevieve versus Aubrey, idols at the ready? Like, are we heading towards that potentially?
I mean, that would require our disaster tribe to get first place in the challenge.
Okay, so that's not happening next week. You're correct. Thank you.
I don't know. It seems unlikely.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. But I mean,
the Rizzo Charlie thing, I like Charlie's fire and energy, but part of me is just like, man, this whole thing is just one big misunderstanding, and that Charlie's giving this much weight to it. And Rizzo, I'm actually a very big fan of. You know, of course, we're more excited to see the old school players than someone who played literally last season. I did not need someone back from 49. I didn't even need two people back from 49. But I like watching Rizzo. I think Rizzo's a really entertaining Survivor contestant. And I also am a fan of Charlie. I thought Charlie probably should have won season 46. I mean, Kenzie played a great game and she got the vote. She deserves to win all that. I don't need to open that can of worms. But like, it's kind of... because when you look at those players, you would think, wow, they could have a really strong alliance together, both younger superfan archetypes. And man, Charlie's just going at Rizzo. Rizzo has no clue. And it's all based on like a lie so that Rizzo and Savannah wanted to kind of obscure how close they were in the game. So, of course, Rizzo doesn't want to say I was, you know, number ones with Savannah when Savannah's on the season. And so it's just this little white lie. So it's not even true what's going on. So that's kind of like, I'm into the feud, I guess, because it's fun to see angry Charlie. Like, I like this side of Charlie, but I wish it was for like more legitimate reasons. You get what I'm saying?
100%. 100%. Because when I had Sophie Bellardi on a couple weeks ago, she was saying it looks like Rizzo and Charlie are getting along. It looks like they're going to bond. Like, they are young super fans, like you said. And it looks like Rizzo wants to bond with Charlie. And now all of a sudden we have Operation Bad Blood happening next week, according to Rizzo. I mean, I feel for Charlie because if Charlie feels like he's playing this so emotionally. And again, he's going based off, he didn't see season 49. So you're going based off of the words you're hearing from the story that this little guy wants to just tell. Like, this is a story Rizzo wants to tell. That's it. He's a little super fan. He's 24 years old. He's so cute. Leave him alone. Like, I feel like Charlie's taking it way too seriously and way too personally, which is crazy because Charlie did not play an emotional game his first time around. So it is blowing my mind a little bit that he's getting this emotional over this. And I know that the Maria thing impacted him and cost him $1 million. But at the same time, this is not the Charlie we saw the first time. Charlie was super calculating. You know, he's probably the closest thing to a game bot we had in the new era where it was just very by the book, very straightforward. This is how I'm going to play. And this time it's like, I mean, if you're this threatened by Rizzo, like, man, you should have waited till 55 to go back out there. Like, he's just Rizzo.
Yeah. And I think we've seen the chat saying, like, everyone loves, some people love the pettiness of it. Some people think it's even better because it's one-sided. It's like, I don't know. I want to root for both these guys. It's like when you're watching a movie and the villain is pitting the two heroes against each other and you're like watching, no, like, it's like someone's been framed. I feel like Rizzo's been framed here for something he didn't do that is just completely false. And then Charlie, who I'm also rooting for, is like, no, Charlie, you're like, you're chasing the red herring. Like, you have, like, you're missing what's actually happening here. And the weird part about it is that the show is not telling the story that Rizzo said this to, you know, obscure his relationship with Savannah. That's not part of the story in the episode. We're meant to just believe that Sophie and Rizzo were number ones, even though Savannah and Rizzo started on the same tribe from day one and Sophie didn't join them until like, what, day nine or something. And we know that his vote wasn't like, it's just not at all what Charlie is saying. And that's why I just don't really, it's not doing for me what I hope it would. Like, a mean Charlie rivalry against Rizzo sounds really good on paper, but the way it's unfolding, the reasons for why it's happening, I don't know if I'm like fully loving it.
Kaz Burchard, this is giving Fishback's obsession with Joe and Second Chance. Like, I kind of see
that, at least, but that had merit because he had the buff, ripped, good looking dude win the season. And he got no jury votes at the end. And that stuck with Steven, and he looks over at Joe and he sees that and it triggers something in him. That's emotional. That's resonant. And I guess here that Charlie is feeling those same things and those feelings are real and that he's dealing with, you know, the aftermath of 46 and losing out on $1 million and a controversial vote from a number one ally. But, you know, when Steven looks at Joe, there's like the Joe JT, like, I get it. You're looking at Rizzo voting for Savannah instead of Sophie was not at all comparable to Maria not voting for Charlie.
He should be looking at Chrissy in this way of like, Chrissy bothers me because Chrissy's the same age as Maria.
Yeah, maybe that's, I don't know. It just, it's like something in the fact that it's based on a pre-gaming alliance, like, or a pre-gaming strategy that Rizzo and Savannah talked before the season and said, hey, we need to downplay that we were number ones and started on the same tribe and voted with each other and like did all that. Let's not reveal that so we increase our chances of winning. And that's the whole thing it's based on. Like, to me, I don't know.
I mean, I'm surprised the chat is anti-Charlie here. I don't remember during 46 the chat being anti-Charlie. I felt like it was good. I mean, if you don't like Charlie, that's fine. I'm surprised. It seems like most people are Team Rizzo, which I would have thought for sure that people would be like, I'm over Rizzo. It's been two seasons of Rizzo. I'm going to go with Charlie on this, but maybe it is. The Charlie edit's very one note. It is. Somebody said it's like a Tura and Bruce, and it's not to that level by any means, but it does make sense that comparison.
Yeah, maybe that's it too. It's like that's all we're hearing from Charlie. Mm-hmm. Like, do we have anything else? And again, it's like, yeah, I think we've covered it.
So, like, okay, we had the really emotional scene from D. We heard nothing from Suri. We heard nothing from Jonathan. We heard nothing from Devins tonight. We heard Camilla with, you know, she had a couple confessionals in here, right? Camilla, Camilla was talking about they gave it to Rizzo because she hasn't heard Mickey Mouse's voice since she was three.
Oh, that's right. What'd you think about the talent show votes, the judging? Like, I almost feel like Charlie, like, and maybe that's why the story makes more sense, but like, Charlie kind of got snubbed there too. The wrestling.
We had a good angle of the fake outs there. I think that helped. I think from the angle they had, it looked very phony. You know, it was like in Rocky, if you watch too closely, he misses every punch very obviously. I mean, that was a good Mickey Mouse impersonation. I go to Disney a lot. I got a Mickey Mouse thing right up here. That's a good Mickey Mouse impersonation.
But why are we doing Mickey Mouse? Or was it Minnie Mouse or Mickey Mouse?
He was doing Mickey, but maybe he was doing more. And maybe Mickey was the one that was the easiest for them to like. Mickey is Mickey. And like, I don't know, Mickey, they can get away with using. Maybe he was doing like other impersonations they don't have the rights to yet.
Yeah, but like, okay, I don't know. You're going to do impressions. Do it of Survivor players on season 50. Do it of tribe mates. I don't know. Make it like, I don't know.
So you're rewatching Worlds Apart 2 then, because Rodney just doing the greatest impersonations like, of every single player on his season. Holy
that's
crap.
Really funny how good at Rodney was at those yeah. impressions. And
you know, Mickey's public domain. He probably was doing other ones. This is, yeah, there was like Mickey heroin chic where it was like Mickey with like a needle.
Also, you don't, it doesn't need to be public domain to do an impression either.
I'm just saying, well, maybe
you're doing, it's fair use to do parody.
Yeah, but maybe Rizzo was so good at it, it wasn't parody for some of the other ones. Maybe that was the problem.
Like if you do like a Robert De Niro impression, then it's not like
Danny Massa did that. But Robert De Niro is a person. That's different. You're not doing an impersonation of a character. You're doing an impersonation of a person. That's different.
Yeah. I think you can do whatever, a SpongeBob impersonation. It's parody. Well,
maybe he was doing a SpongeBob impersonation. Maybe they didn't want to give the credit. Yeah, we don't need that. All right. That was really all we got from this tribe, and I'm fine with it. I thought it was fun, but they didn't win, so they don't get the Zach Brown moment. They didn't lose, so they don't go to tribal. So again, Will, we talk about all the time, beep, 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 who got confessionals, who didn't. Yeah, in this one, I almost look at this the way I looked at the Joe Eva episode, where I'm not really going to knock this tribe. I still think the winner could easily come from this tribe. This is an episode where they wanted to spend 20 to 25 minutes with Zach Brown, and then you had 30 minutes post-immunity. There was no buildup beforehand to even give them this. Like, I feel like I got something from every person on that tribe, even if I didn't necessarily hear that what they had to say. It just felt like the storyline is Charlie versus Rizzo. That's coming to a head next week, and we probably know the end of the story because Rizzo has an idol and Charlie does not.
Yeah, but Rizzo doesn't know that Charlie's coming for him. I mean, imagine that will come out. I mean, Charlie has to tell somebody. He can't vote.
Yeah, and I think those people will probably vote.
And then, yeah, maybe they go to Rizzo. I mean, what do you think of Genevieve even choosing Rizzo as the candidate for this? Because, again, she made it very clear this time around, at least, that I want Rizzo to get blindsided so I get the idol. She's not really giving – she had no, like, oh, Rizzo and I – had a great connection on the original camp, because he came into that alliance very late. They pulled in Rizzo almost to replace Kyle once Kyle was medevaced. And again, this could be the show just choosing to show the blind side and get the idol back portion of the boomerang idol. Do you think Genevieve gave it to Rizzo because she sees a future working with him, or is this purely a trap?
I think this is a great move by Genevieve. If that tribe loses, I think it's a great move by Genevieve, and here's why. He's the only one from that original tribe over there. So one, it looks like she's trying to protect him, right? Rizzo, I got your back still. We were in an alliance from day one. I got you. I'll give you this idol. You're the only person from original Vatu standing over there. I'll protect you. But also, he's the only person from original Vatu over there. So she doesn't know that Rizzo never played his idol on his season, that he just kept holding it. She doesn't know that. But if Rizzo gets cocky here, his relationships aren't as good as they were with Sophie and with Savannah. That's just a fact. So he could end up in a situation where he gets blindsided or gets voted out. Genevieve gets that idol. Even if they go to two tribal councils, maybe he survives the first one, but maybe he doesn't play at the second one because he survived. He goes home. I think she did this well because she's either building an ally and keeping an ally with him. Or he's the most likely target on that tribe because he's the sole person from that original tribe. It's a win-win for her, I think, in this situation.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's when she's making these decisions. That's what she's saying in her confessional. And then it's chosen to be the more kind of malicious, the assassin Genevieve that we know.
Yeah, this is the story we're telling on this season. I mean, like, I think that there's another swap coming. And I think that Genevieve and Aubrey are on such a strong tribe at this point that they might not go to a tribal council. I wonder if the Genevieve and Aubrey thing's even going to come to a head in the pre-merger, if we might not see this till the post-merge. And it's like potentially that these are the two people battling it out. I mean, Genevieve's at it's a lot stronger than Aubrey's right now. So I'd be much more buying that Genevieve's going to win the game and this might be the battle. It could also be the battle of Aubrey takes down Genevieve and maybe it sends one of Aubrey's closer allies up the ladder there. It won't be Tiff. Tiff has two confessionals in the whole season. Zach Brown has more. But I do think
that
I
is funny that Zach Brown has more confessionals than Tiffany.
Yeah. I think that there's a chance that maybe this doesn't even come to a head until the merge. Because look, that challenge today was very physical, and the one tribe has Jonathan, and they still lost. Like Joe, Coach, Chrissy on a puzzle, even though it was Camilla who figured out which tribe is Camilla? Camilla's on the other one. Camilla figured out the word of celebration, but she was on the second place team. You have Chrissy doing puzzles. You have Coach, Colby, and you have Joe for physical. Genevieve's good at challenges. Aubrey's good at challenges. Like that tribe might not lose, even with two tribes going.
I think now that we have two tribes going, I think anyone can lose now. Like, because we saw Jonathan Camilla lose, but I would still probably pick the Jonathan Camilla tribe to be the favorite in any given Survivor challenge. Like without looking at a challenge, you're gonna just pick a random Survivor challenge. It's likely gonna be pretty good for that tribe.
So you think that's the tribe that go? You think?
No, I just mean like, and clearly we saw them lose today. So what I'm saying is like, now that only one tribe wins, all possibilities are open. I would be very surprised if the Christian tribe, the disaster tribe we've seen go to Tribal Count with Ozzy and everybody,
they're done.
Like, I don't see how they win first place against either of the other two tribes, but either of those other two tribes I could see getting second place and thus having to go to Tribal Council.
Yeah. The other two were very evenly matched. I mean, that challenge showed it. Like they were both doing, I thought they were going to spell Jelinski, not celebration. I really thought it was going to happen since Q's tribe and Tiffany's tribe voted out Jelinski and then had to do a challenge that he would have been perfect for. And instead had to do it with Jess, who was just like falling over. But I feel like these two were really close, and Vatu was not even on the same playing field. If there's anything like, physical, they have no shot.
Like, do we want to look back at voting out Q? I mean, was that a really boneheaded move?
Well, we talked about it a lot in the offseason, in the preseason, in the buildup to this. If it was going to be two tribes going to tribal the whole time, immunity challenges matter a lot more now. Now all of a sudden, the Jonathan's, Joe's, Q's become a lot more valuable. Q was on a disaster tribe the first time, though, so like whatever. But you get my point. Because I think it was one vote for so long, I think they almost got a little comfortable. I mean, that's another reason, like tonight, Ozzy's name never came out, but maybe that's why they didn't get rid of Steph. I mean, Steph is one of the best physical players in this game right now. But when you're on that tribe, you don't have the biggest person to push that. I mean, Coach, Jonathan, and Colby were struggling with that. The other tribe has Mike White, Christian, Steph, Emil. They're never moving that. It's never happening. Even if they had Q, I still think they probably lose this challenge. But I think they were all lulled into like a sense of complacency a little bit based on the fact of that two tribes haven't been going and they've been safe the whole time. So you feel like you can get away with this a little bit.
Yeah, potentially. I think if you have Q in there instead of like Angelina, that's going to perform way better in that challenge.
And that is who it was between. That's a good point.
So like, I mean, you can say what you want about Q in terms of like, is he actually good at challenges? In terms of like just pushing that boat with those heavy puzzle pieces and holding up puzzle blocks, being told he doesn't have to solve the puzzle, he's just holding them up. You can't tell me Q wouldn't have been like a huge plus add for that tribe.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he would have been a huge plus add. I just still think they lose. I think the other two just had that.
Yeah. I mean, the other two are good. So yeah, let's talk about the format of this a little bit. Cause like you said, we're only at final 20 after four episodes.
Well, no, this was 20th. So we're at 19. We're at final 19.
Okay. We're down. That's right. We're down to 19. I almost wish, and maybe this is the worst part about the Zach Brown thing. If Zach Brown isn't coming out, do they do two tribals this episode a little bit earlier? Because I feel like this is when we should start. Like, I feel like we should be down to 18 by now.
Do you think that there was a chance then that they would have wanted, they were trying to get Zach Brown for a later episode and it just worked out where this was the time he could come?
I'm not, I can't speak to that. But it's like, we're looking at the numbers now. We have 20 people or 19 people left. We lose two next week. Okay, then we're down to 17. Two the week after, we're down to 15. And that's after six episodes. Episode 7 is usually the merge.
Yeah.
Are we merging at 15? Or do we do another episode of two? And maybe, look, I don't know when we're swapping. I imagine there's a swap in there. Then you're down to 13. Merging episode 8 with 13? That feels super late. Yeah. But I don't know how else to do it, though. Like, I feel like at this point, Phil, and this is what we were very fearful of, is I think we're going to get a three-boot episode. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm just running through the numbers at this point. I'm like, how do we avoid sending three people home in one episode?
So let's say this. Let's say it's two boots next week because that's what they said, and we're at 19. So that gets you down to 17.
Yes.
You think they would swap again and immediately do three boots? That would be crazy. That would be so dumb. I know it's dynamic. I know it's craziness, but like that just has such potential to screw people.
Well, I mean, what they could do two boots, then two boots, you're down to 15, then swap three tribes of five, which I would despise.
But I would hate that.
Then you, I mean, in the three tribe, is there a world where we are, I think I'd say, maybe Tegwith had said this, is there a world where it's like all three tribes are going to tribal council to vote somebody off, and then the challenge, each tribe competes for individual immunity within your own tribe?
Which I that could feels, see that.
That but, feels, that still feels like, dude, like three tribals in one episode.
Well, my like question is now, when are we getting our next swap? If there is a second swap, because maybe there just isn't a second swap. I know we're kind of under the assumption that it would make sense if you're keeping people on their toes. I mean, you had them play until 21 in one tribe. Now, though, you're at 19. If it's double boot, it's 17. That's not divisible by two or three. You do two boots. Yeah, you get three tribes of five. You do three boots. Now you're at 14. You're doing two tribes of seven. If you had done a three tribes of five, though, are you voting out two people in that episode as well? Because you're not going to get to a final 18. I know that's what Zach says, but you're not going to get to a final 18 because you're doing double boot at 19.
Yeah, but like we see survivors swap at odd numbers or prime numbers all the time. It's like you send one person to exile. Like it's not, yeah, it's not a difficult problem to solve. I just don't know how we avoid a three boot episode is what I'm saying. Just by looking at this.
Unless you do, I'd rather have multiple double boots than a three boot.
Right. Because you do 2-2-2 from here, you're 13, but then you're at episode 8 with 13. And even if you do 2 at the merge, 11 for episode 9, you have 4 episodes left with 11 people. And you're definitely getting a finale starting with 6 instead of 5. Anyway.
Let's do the math on this. Wait, let's do the math real quick, because this is pretty easy. May 20th, you have 6 people starting.
Okay.
Right. And then you have May 13th. I'm just going to do the date. So May 13th, May 6th, April 30th.
Okay. Well let's say what happens on May 13th.
I think you're probably starting that episode with 8 and voting out 2 people. May 6th, okay. You're starting with 10 voting out 2 people. May, and then April 30th, you're starting with 11, maybe voting out 1. April 23rd, you're starting with 12 voting out 1. And then what? It would be April 16th. I mean, there's enough episodes in here that you can get away with a couple single boots. I think that's what I'm realizing here. If you're going to do double, 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 like let's say the next 2 weeks, May 25th, April 1st, April 8th are all double. You're now down to 19, 17. You're down to 15. Right? No, it'd be 17, 15. You're down to 13. Right? And then at that point, you would have the 15th, the 23rd. Well, I can't do math. 16th, 23rd, 30th, 7th. 13th, you'd have 5 episodes to get from 13 to 6. You can do that.
Yeah.
Without doing a triple boot.
We'll see. I'm worried. I'm getting worried now.
That would suck, man. I mean, that was just something that I was hoping we would never do. And especially if it's like, if there is a second swap and the way we're talking about it, it feels like there might be a second swap and that second swap would happen. And then they would almost have to immediately go into the,
There's not a world where we're not getting a second swap. That would shock me.
Yeah.
The fans voted for dynamic twists and advantages. They voted for a tribe swap. You're starting with 24 people. We've seen 2 tribe swaps in a season starting with 18, 6 fewer people. So like that, I feel like is like not swapping to me is off the table.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. Oh man. What else we got to talk about from this episode? I feel like we're talking about math. I mean, Nick Snyder here said Phil versus math is always a fun conflict on the podcast. Nick,
we love chopping up the math.
Bill Self on your emails, Nick Snyder. What were you saying?
Yeah, we love chopping up math. And when we get a good math problem.
Yeah.
But this is just, it's not, we don't have enough of the, there's too many variables here, Phil. Too many variables to solve for that we aren't aware of. So.
Well, because then you figure like the Mr. Beast episode's probably a one boot episode. You got to assume Mr. Beast. I don't think Mr. Beast is going to go spearfishing, but Mr. Beast is probably going to take up a good amount of screen time, just like we just saw tonight.
I could see Mr. Beast taking up fewer minutes than Zach Brown, though.
Well, I think that's the hope for a lot of people right now.
I think the Mr. Beast thing is he has got, we know he's got a briefcase and there's a podium. I think a lot of speculation has been he's going to appear at the auction. And so, and that makes sense for what Mr. Beast likes to do. Like the auction feels right for his style of like decision making and having, you know, options under things. That makes sense to me. I don't know if we need like a confessional. Okay, sure. We'll get a couple of confessionals, obviously. Also, Mr. Beast went out and shot a Survivor crossover for Beast Game Season 2. Mm-hmm. And so there was like this added reason for him to be there. Zach Brown came out just for this. This was the sole reason he was in Fiji, was to come visit Survivor, host a reward. Mr. Beast was there for other things. So I don't know if we need like the full 20-minute Mr. Beast segment.
Do you think somebody had said, somebody had commented in here that celebrity Survivor, do you think that they're going to be trying to cast a celebrity on a Survivor season or get a celebrity Survivor season going? Like, what do you think's going to happen? Like a real celebrity. I know they've done athletes and stuff, but like Mike White wasn't as much of a celebrity as he is now. Like I'm talking like, do you think that they might be trying to get a Zach Brown level person to actually play Survivor?
I don't know. Tegwith and I have talked about this a bit because we, you know, that's our elevator pitch over there. We talk about ideas for the show and we were talking about what could they do with Paramount Plus. It feels like Paramount Plus is so underutilized for Survivor. I mean, you see it used on other CBS shows, you know, Big Brother has the live feeds and I know they've had that for a while, but that's integrated into Paramount Plus. They had like the Challenge USA, like a separate spinoff of the Challenge franchise exclusively for Paramount Plus. Jersey Shore had a spinoff exclusively for Paramount Plus. All these franchises. And it's like Survivor is out here. No, we're just going to do two seasons a year and they're on CBS only. It feels like a shortened 2-week season of celebrities going out to play Survivor is ideal for like a smaller spinoff season for Paramount Plus. And I think that'd be fun. I know Jeff has said a celebrity season doesn't fit the premise of Survivor. Survivor is putting 18 strangers or 16 strangers out, and it's a social experiment to see how they build a society and see what happens. And we watch and we follow. Jeff changes his mind all the time. And I think a little convincing, a little bird in his ear being like, we need to do this for the Paramount Plus. It's better for the brand. And you can find 12 to 14 celebrities to go out for a quick short, like what Australian Survivor did, US or Australian Survivor versus the World. Like that was, what do we say? 16 days, 14 players. Like that's not a full Survivor season. That couldn't count as a full win for anybody that maybe could have won the game.
I wonder if they feel like doing something on Paramount Plus would be cheapening it though. That's what I think maybe the concern is like, if you do a smaller season, you're cheapening kind of like the bigger product overall. I don't know.
Maybe, but I don't know. The show is, we're in season 50 at this point. Like the show is living on. So I embrace the new technology, embrace where, you know, CBS is right now. Like streaming services didn't exist when the show premiered. Now they do. Your parent company is owned by one pretty much. So like, utilize it. Or like, why can't Ponderosa be on there? Why can't we have bonus seats? I don't know. There's a lot they could do. You gotta subscribe to the Patreon.
It's crazy.
Talk all about it.
Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon. It's right here. I'm looking up. I
can tell you're distracted because I took a shot at Parvati and you didn't say anything. You just completely ignored it.
No, I heard it. My computer froze. My computer froze because I tried to open another tab, and as I've said numerous times, his computer's dying. But yeah, it's like, I don't know. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. And then Patrick J. Stahl was like, is Zach Brown even a big celebrity? It's like, yeah, Zach Brown's pretty massive. I don't know how
but
to like
find. Yeah, he's big enough.
13 of their songs reached number one on the Billboard Hot Country Songs. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no, he's big enough. And like, you probably don't even need to get every celebrity that would participate doesn't need to be as big as Zach Brown. You can get kind of smaller celebrities too.
Yeah. Vince is here. Vince Sly. Hello. I listen to your pod a bit for a few seasons now, but this season you guys are my go-to. Love and 50. Coconut vendor. That has to be Vince Sly, right?
I hope it is. Vince Sly was a joy to watch for what it was on season 30. And I'm about to rewatch that entire season for the Patreon. All right, Phil, what else we got to take care of? Oh, the Philly and the Willie.
The Philly and the Willie. Oh man, I'm not giving the Philly to anybody on the tribe that went. I'm not doing it.
You're not giving Christian the props here?
No, I'm not giving it to Christian. I'm not going to give it to Steph. I mean, Steph could get it because Steph really didn't do anything. First, let me see if I can think of giving it to anybody else. Nobody from the talent show tribe. I guess the other tribe, like they won the reward to get it with Zach Brown, but like, I mean, who? Nobody carried the team like, to get that.
Yeah.
I'll give it to Steph.
Got some Rizgod action here.
Yeah, I don't know. Rizgod was handed something. I'll give it to Steph.
Because an idol.
Steph was my number 20 coming into this week. Like, she was the bottom person in my power rankings. And I think that if I have, if I think you're going to go home and you don't even have your name come up, you did a great job.
Where'd you have Mike White?
I had Mike White, I think, at 12 or 13.
It's honestly lower than...
Dude, there's 20 people. I mean, it's like, just keep going.
Just like, he was in such a good spot coming into this episode.
I will say that when I said I put him at 20, I did not feel like he was going home. At 12 or 13, I did not feel like he was going home.
Yeah, if you put him at 20...
Yeah, if you put him at 20, you're cheap.
You're up to no good.
Yeah, that's all I know. Wait, somebody just said that they think I had the wrong vote for the final vote. Yeah, I don't know why I put Mike White. Obviously, it was Stephanie LaGrossa. She had the vote. Thank you for calling me out on that, chat. That is correct. It was Stephanie LaGrossa. Go ahead, Will. Who are you giving the Willie to?
The Willie is going to go to Emily. Just blabbering, loose lips. We've seen her mess up twice now. I don't know if she was awarded the Willie last week. Who got the Willie last week? Aubrey?
No, I don't think you went Aubrey. I think you went somebody on that tribe. I mean,
I think I went Chrissy.
No, it could have been Chrissy last week. Chrissy had a redemptive arc last week. It was the week before Chrissy was getting destroyed.
Maybe it was Chrissy was episode 2. I'm going to go Emily here. She's really pissing off Christian. And Christian explicitly tells Emily, we cannot loop Ozzy into the plan. We'll have to explain it after. And then immediately... Emily starts, Ozzy walks in. She's like, I'm getting targeted and like, we need a new plan. And then Ozzy kind of makes it easier for Christian. Honestly, Ozzy's like, we're voting Angelina, right? Okay. We don't need to talk about it anymore. We're done. And Christian's there mouthing to her behind Ozzy's back. That was a great scene. That was really fun.
I mean, that was a great scene because it really was one of those moments where that's where I thought, okay, Emily's going to go home because at this point, like, how can you trust her if you're Christian? You can't. You legitimately cannot trust her at that point. As soon as Ozzy walked up, she said, oh, they're trying to spin on me. And Christian's just like, dude, you're going to blow our cover. Because if Ozzy would have found out about this, like, Ozzy can be mad that he was left out. But if Ozzy would have found out, this would not have been the vote tonight. Mike White would not have gone home. Ozzy can't play his idol for Mike White, but Ozzy would not have wanted to go along with that.
No, he wouldn't have been down. And he would have told Mike.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Mike White and Ozzy were so close. Like, I knew we got the little restaurant thing and they've known each other. They were kind of a relationship in LA, but it seems like they were much closer than I was aware of.
I mean, it's like Christian said, Mike White was, or Ozzy was playing for the White Lotus cameo. That's what he was playing for. And I think that they were already friends.
Did he do enough to earn a White Lotus cameo?
You show up on that island with that looking mullet, I think you're going to get a White Lotus cameo. I think Mike White will find a way to write that.
Is he going to fit in the French kind of world?
That's where the next one is France.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows, man? They'll just bring somebody out there. Was Jennifer Coolidge Italian? Like, he just got to be one of the guests.
No, well, she was on vacation. She was one of the...
Yeah, he's going to be on vacation.
Okay, he's on vacation at the White Lotus. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, he's on vacation.
I don't know. I just imagine, like, I don't know, because if he was... Fishing. He could have been, like, on season... Like, he could have been in Thailand as, like, not, like, a local, but, like, an expat, like, surfer bro or spearfisher or something. Like, it kind of fit the locale of Thailand, I guess, a little bit more than France.
Yeah.
All right, I think we got to wrap this thing up. We're done. Our podcast, we go hard on season 50.
I'm telling you, man, we just want to go longer than every episode. That's it. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Tomorrow, I will be live with Blake and Jake Latimer from last season. We don't know a time yet. Jake is going to get me a time in the morning. So stay tuned, follow, you know, make sure you got your notifications clicked, whatever it is, so that you know. So that'll be tomorrow. On Sunday, Will, I know you're not going to set a reminder because you never do, but I got Kellen.
You wouldn't remind me this week. I actually could have probably done it this week.
I got Kellen at 1 p.m. Eastern. Your favorite.
Oh, my God. I might have to.
Somebody actually came in to the Wentworth one and commented like an hour and 20 minutes in. I guess Will didn't set himself an alarm.
I don't know. Sunday might work. You'll have to again. I know what you're doing. Like you
never, have to remind yourself.
You never text me like, "Hey man, we're doing this at like 10 a.m. your time. You want to hop on?" You never have sent that to me once. You like the one-on-one time with the alums.
I just want you to be independent.
I get it. Like, I get why you want to hog the time. It makes sense.
I just want you to be independent, man. That's all I want. That's it. Nick Snyder wants NCAA predictions, please. Nick, you were emailed. Check it. Control F, Bill Self in your inbox there. You should have something. That's it. Miami's not going on a miracle run. Starts tomorrow. Not?
We made the Final Four as an 11 seed. We're a 7 seed.
We made the Final Four as a 5 seed. What are you talking about?
I thought we were an 11 seed. Oh, is that the Elite Eight year?
The Elite Eight year was a 10 seed.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've done a 10 and a 5, but I don't like our matchup this time. Anyway, that's it. Become a patron. Patreon.com/specialist. We're finishing up Sam Wandell, sir. 2 episodes left of that. And then we get into Rodney.
I wasn't reminded, Captain Obvious.
That's it. I know. That's how. This was really fun. I'm really happy about this one. I want to make sure I didn't miss any super chats. I did not. Thank you all for listening to us today. And I'll see you all tomorrow night at some point. So that's it.
Bye. And I will see you maybe on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next Wednesday, probably at 9:30.
Probably.
Yeah. That's it. Bye, everybody.
See ya.